It's a group thing. It's got a funky sway. Well, it's a group thing, a group thing.
Come on.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, welcome to the Soul Savvy Show. EB and Q Lynn Green. Hey, another wonderful Friday. Looking forward to a great show. Hey, who do you have as guest tonight?
Hey, we have three guests on. Two of them is, they've been on, I think, one of them been on this the third time and then the second time. And now we got three guests on. Y'all familiar with As Told by Her Brand, Whitney and Haley Robinson, and also from the Mutual Matters Radio podcast, we have Helen Collins on. So I'll give a warm welcome to our guests. This is going to be a jam-packed show. How are y'all doing?
Good.
I feel great.
Doing
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we just played that John A. joint. What y'all know about that? Oh, yeah, somebody emailed me and said it says it's pronounced John A., so they telling you it's not Zane. Once somebody corrected you, you called them Zane the last show, and they said, it says pronounced Jeanne, so they want you to get the name right. So.
Okay, you tell them I really appreciate that, okay?
Hilarious. You know what? Before we get into anything, we'll get to this in a savvy update because we got so many emails, and it's my fault. Well, it's actually Will's fault because I was trying to answer all of them. If y'all saw the Pino Grigio show, you can check that out on the website. I was trying to answer them all on that one, but somebody was influenced by the Pino Grigio, so we didn't get to them. So we got a lot of get to the guests on, but we going to interview our guest Helen real quick.
You know, I thought this was
to the show.
I thought this was a soul savvy show.
Complaint because he made a lot of accusations against me the last show, and I feel we going to get to it because we had company on. He always wants to start stuff when we got company on, so we going to get to that in these updates, sir. But
yes,
before
ma'am.
We get to that, we going to interview our guest and Helen Collins from Mutual Matters Radio Podcast. She's. We can get our producer that likes to drink to calm down just a second, to chill just for 5 seconds so I can, do this interview, sir. Thank you so much.
I've been real cool.
Calm down.
I've been real cool.
You know? We'll get to you in just a second.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Okay. All right.
Okay. So we go.
I'm taking notes.
Oh man, the show is already starting off crazy. Okay. We'll interview, I guess, real quick, Helen. She's part of Mutual Matters Radio Podcast. It's a phenomenal podcast. I think it didn't start in this summer, early summer, tell us.
Yes, it did. We've been at it for a few months.
Right. It's a great show. I just want to say, I actually been on the show. I mentioned that on, I forgot what show it was. I said I was on there, and it's a really phenomenal show. And I was actually enjoying, before we get in, I asked the questions. I said I really enjoyed like not doing anything because people think this is a podcast, but I'm like, this is live radio, so I don't have the pleasure of cutting and editing while we own radio. So I love going on y'all show and just seeing the process and how you do it because you do a lot of work. I know you mentioned that before on the show, but yeah, it's a lot of work into it. So I wanted to know what made you and Dan, Pastor Dan, shout out to him. How did y'all come together to start this podcast?
Well, I had a podcast by myself a few years ago called Anchored Culture Radio, and I just started feeling like it was missing something. I needed a co-host to kind of, conversation. You can't have a conversation by yourself. So the discussion was kind of falling flat with just me and a mutual friend. You know, Pastor Dan is a pastor, local pastor in Oklahoma City. So a mutual friend said that he was wanting to work on a radio show. And so we met up, had coffee. We had the same ideas, same desire. So we kind of just glued and we started work from there. And my God, was it a process.
Y'all really get into it. I know me and Pastor Dan, I think that show was called, the episode was called Houston Chronicles, if y'all want to look that up. But me and Pastor, like I said, I think they were expecting me to act like I was on there. Like somebody asked the question I'm about to pull up. They think I'm like a raging lunatic on this show and that I just act crazy. But when I got there, to their place when we were getting ready to do the show, they were like, what's going on? Like they was expecting me. I'm like, I'm chill, like laid back all the time, but I can just see they were surprised, like how low key I was. But what was you expecting when I was coming there? Like, did you expect me to act like the listeners think, like a raging lunatic all the time?
Yes, I did. I sure did.
And I would have.
Say low key. That's exactly what you were. But as soon as we hit record, your personality came right on out. I was like, okay.
Oh yeah.
The way Pastor Dan were going at it.
Listen, I wasn't even going that hard, but he was like, hold on, let me finish. I was like, okay, let me, cause I didn't interrupt him. He was the one getting riled up. He was like, hold on, let me finish my thought. I was like, all right, finish your thought. Cause he got riled up. We were talking about, Pastor Joel Osteen, so we got kind of heated with that. But I said that, if y'all would have known, like I said, if you didn't listen to that show, Helen, I'm gonna ask you the question. I know you're a big Michael Jackson fan. But you have
okay,
an interesting.
Careful.
Okay, I'm not gonna go there yet. But I'm gonna ask. She's a big Janet Jackson fan, EB. So I was gonna ask. You said when I asked you on the show, you said that the Control album was your go-to album, how you got introduced. Your timeline is pretty. I actually got into a lengthy debate yesterday with somebody on your page.
Oh my God. What is happening?
It was an interesting conversation. So I didn't realize till I got on there that I don't know if you want me to blast your age or whatever, but you're like on the cusp of like the 90s baby. And so it was like, I didn't realize that. Usually when I go to people's pages, somebody over 30, like that's who I interact. So when I was interacting with him, I was like, how old is this person I'm talking to? And then they were like, oh, I'm this age. And I was like, oh, this conversation makes sense, because they were saying, it was this crazy debate of Michael Jackson, or what was it? I forgot the question. It was like,
the question was, would Janet Jackson be as successful if Michael Jackson was not her brother?
Yeah, I said it was ridiculous. Yeah, and that person, like, they're really young. So I was like, oh, you don't understand it then. Because I was like,
I'm the same age as him, and I came to a totally different conclusion than him. So it ain't an age thing. He just don't.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes it is, because Janet, a lot of people, it's different Janet fans. There's some from the 70s, like the Good Times, that know her from there and from the TV show she was on when she was young. And then it's the... Mm-hmm. The first album fans, you don't know, some of y'all probably don't know nothing about that. The Angela and Renee produced her first album. A lot of y'all probably don't even know that. And then a lot of y'all think Control is her first album. But if you say that you used to have Janet Jackson's first album on cassette, that's a whole different fan base. So that's what I was saying. Like, people grew up differently. So yeah, it's different. But I wanted to know, what makes you want to continuously, because I know it's hard doing the podcast, but is the interaction, do you find the interaction to be, I guess, motivating to keep doing the show?
Yes. We're still, like you said, we're fairly new, so the interaction is got a long ways to go. Like, I know you know how it is first starting out. It's hard to get people to interact because nobody knows who you are yet. But every time I do a show, every time I release a show, I still get butterflies. One, because I'm excited. Two, because I'm nervous. But the thing that drives me is I just want people to feel like there's a community. I want to feel like we're relatable. We talk about things. We make a point to talk about things from not a Christian perspective, but a church perspective. And we're not afraid to, you know, go there on any subject. And I feel like for me, a lot of times with the podcast that I love to read, I love getting grown, all of that. But there's always a godly perspective that's missing from their conversations. So I felt there's an audience that's probably looking for the same thing as me. So why not me do it?
Right. Evie, you got any questions for us?
I want to go back to this Janet Jackson thing.
Hysterical.
Listen, because I love Janet. I do. I joke with Janet around about Janet, but I love Janet. What is your favorite song from the Control album? I'm very curious.
I really don't have a favorite song from the Control album. I don't even remember saying Control was my favorite album from Janet, because it's not.
Oh, well, okay. What is your favorite?
Oh, sorry, E.B. I'm over it.
Velvet Rope. Okay, so from the Velvet Rope, then, what is your favorite song? Or do you have one?
Together Again is my favorite song from her, period.
Really?
Yeah.
So is it the meaning behind the song, or what exactly about that song do you love so much?
It is the meaning. It's the lyrics. All of it. It's just so, I love it. It's my favorite song from her by far.
Wow, that is different.
Okay, so what's yours? I'm interested now.
No. Well, when we were talking about the Control album, my favorite song is When I Think of You.
Okay.
So that's what I was going to. From the Velvet Rope.
I got to see her live on her State of the World tour a couple back in September, and she is just so amazing. She is just right. flawless.
Yeah, I've seen the clips of her in the Kanye West fashion line jumping around stage and everything. So she looks good. She's doing her thing. But seriously, from the Velvet Rope, I don't think I have a favorite. Maybe the actual song, The Velvet Rope, would probably be my favorite. I don't know.
Bye, EB.
I mean, that's a good song. That's a good song. And the sample, I like the sample. So I think that's why it's the sample usage in the song. And, you know, I mean, she has other stuff I like. She has a lot of stuff I like, actually.
What is the name of that song that had Q-Tip on it?
Godzilla Song.
Yes,
I love that one too.
Yeah.
That was my second favorite.
That was a great song, actually. That would probably be my second favorite as well. That was a song that I felt it was a lot different for Janet.
And
when
that's
she,
the thing
when
is
she
people,
first did it.
Janet is, you know, very popular, but if you listen to her actual album, she has a lot of R&B and soul like that.
Right.
She does a lot of that. I think that's more of who she is. As a person, but whatever.
Right. I think with Janet, something that she's actually suffered from her entire career is that she is someone that gets boxed in each and every time. And each and every time she proves that I can't be boxed in. You know, I have all of this range. I can do all of these things, but you know, she gets put in this certain, you know, popish category all the time. And she's a lot more than that. People don't understand. They don't realize that.
Right. Oh, I'm in good company.
Like, only for right now. I'm being nice right now. I like it, though. I like it.
I think I got a couple more questions, and then we're going to get to the updates because we got a lot of them. I was going to ask you, with your podcast, what is it that you plan, what, or anything you want to discuss, like in terms of your future projects? Like, I know you had mentioned to me privately about the stuff you have going on, but are you wanting to do both at the same time, and or use the podcast to propel the ideas you want to create with whatever projects you're doing?
No, I really want to keep them separate because I'm trying to get into TV production and I want to start producing other podcasts.
Right.
But the future of Mutual Matters, we're going to start doing a live show once a month. So just trying to get the details of that worked out and hopefully eventually, you know, be able to bring in an audience once a month. Because the thing about doing radio or podcasting is there's always those people that complain that there's no visual. Some people are
right.
visual people, so we've got a lot of requests to make the podcast a visual podcast. I'm not doing that, but I will do, you know, we can do a live show, and I think it'll be beneficial to be able to interact with our listeners live, you know, get their live thoughts and commentary on whatever we're talking about. So that's what's next for Mutual Matters.
Yeah, it's very hard trying to do a live show, especially, no shade or nothing when your guests don't show up. So, you know, I know, you know, some people, it's like, for me, it's very difficult to like do a live show, especially when you low on assistance and stuff. That plays a part in it too. So, like, I got a slash assistant helping me that got here to help me hook this equipment up, but I told him to record the show for me. He like, you ain't paying me for this. I'm like, really? And I just, before we got on, I told him to get out. I ain't gonna say the cuss words I said on there because we're trying to keep it clean. But he's my friend. We do shows. We're actually gonna do a show later on tonight in Dallas. We're like halfway where we're supposed to be. But yeah, I told EB the other week, I guess we get to that to the updates because somebody had asked me a question. I just looked it over. But anyway, yeah, like you said, I completely get that with, you know, because, you know, you got to, I guess, listen to them to a certain degree to the listeners, but then also you got to do your thing that works for you. So I 100% get that.
Right.
I think the only question I have is what's your musical taste span from? Like what is it specifically that I guess, not necessarily what you listen to throughout the week, but just, I guess, in general, what's your musical taste span from?
You know what? It's really colorful because my mom is who raised me, and she listens to everything except for country. So she listens to soft rock, R&B, neo-soul, gospel. So, I mean, I pretty much listen to everything. One thing about me, though, is I don't listen to new stuff. I just very rarely will I listen to what's on the radio and stuff like that, because I'm like, my favorite era is like 90s R&B, early 2000s. I'll pretty much listen to that consistently.
So like just 90s, or I mean, I guess genres. Are you genre specific, or do you listen to all kinds?
If I had to pick, it would be R&B.
Okay.
It would be real R&B, not trap soul or trap and R&B or anything that's like current. It would be like straight up R&B.
Wait, did you say you listen to trap R&B?
No, I'm saying I don't.
Okay. I was about to say, I was about to flip, because I was sitting here trying to, I was going to go Facebook Live, but my laptop is acting strange. So I caught a little bit of that. I got distracted for like 5 seconds. It was like, wait, what? I just had to trap R&B. It was like about to flip. I thought you said that was, but yeah, we don't get to.
It's called brown liquor.
I'll pull it up. Oh, go ahead, EB. Go ahead.
I have two more questions for you, Helen.
Okay, go ahead.
No. The first one is, I'm being very nice, because you know what, I like you. I like you a lot. When you described the Mutual Matters podcast, you said that you are not so much bringing it from a Christian perspective, but from a church perspective. Like, mm-hmm. Explain that a little bit for the people who don't quite get what that means.
Okay, so for me personally, I am a Christian, and so is Pastor Dan, but we don't want to limit our audience by saying this is a Christian podcast. If you believe in a higher power, if you're spiritual at all, you can relate to what we're saying. So, mm-hmm. And when I said the church earlier, there's a lot of religions, specifically Christianity, that are afraid to address the issues in the church, the problems in the church, and we do that from the perspective of being a part of the church. But we're also not afraid to address, you know, our failings and when stuff is just not right, and, you know, so that's what I meant by that.
Okay. And my last question.
Oh, God.
The Vocal Bible.
Oh, EB!
People, you know, who do you think the Vocal Bible is?
You know what I'm about to say. I said it, I'm going to say it again. It is Brandy. It's Brandy.
Now, is that a King James or New Revised or...
No, I'm not going to say it. Okay, listen, but my generation, I feel like Brandy is the Vocal Bible. And I've had this argument. Ugh. I mean, who's better than her? Who's better than her?
Okay. I mean, look.
Don't say Jasmine Sullivan.
I'm not going to say anybody.
Yeah, Jasmine needs some throat lozenges. Like with Kim Burrell, they both need some Robitussin for that throat.
I'm just saying.
Go ahead, EB.
I actually, Brandy's first album is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Uh-huh.
And the older I get and the more experienced I get with music, I'm questioning, is it my favorite album for, you know, like, nostalgic reasons, or is it because I think she sounds just like Whitney Houston on that first album, or is it simply because she has, or she is, a vocal Bible? I think she has a great voice. I think she's one of the best singers to come definitely out of the 90s, and I would give her, you know, the 90s forward. I think she is one of the top rated vocalists.
I give it to Faith Evans more than
Right. But I'm saying I get people loving Brando. Yeah, but I just struggle to understand that whole vocal Bible thing. Like, I don't know where it came from. But you know, that's cool that she has that following. She's definitely talented.
But a lot of people refer back to her specific way of singing. Like, I think that's why she's considered the vocal Bible, is because when people are trying to learn to sing or perfect their voice or find their sound, I just hear a lot of her influence in a lot of singers today.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with that. You know, I'm not going to argue with that at all.
That's a good answer.
That was a great answer. See, when you got the answer to back up your stuff, I'll be like, you know what? You're right. Brandy fans, well, you know, at least Helen, you seem to have that. Beyonce fans never have that. But what you got, Q-Lin?
Hysterical. Oh, my God. I was going to go to Will's first, but we're going to wait a little bit because I'm pulling up for some for Whitney and Haley. Listen, that show, some of them listened to part one and part two at the same time, so a lot of these emails are, they kind of mixed in both of those shows and talked about them. Okay, listen. Okay, yes, we got heated on the part one and part two of MJ versus Prince. I wasn't trying to go there. EB could attest to this, that when he brought it up the next show, I was cool and I was calm, and he was trying to get me worked up, and I ignored it when Julie was on. I mean, no, it wasn't with Julie. It was with the week before. And then when Julie got on, he wants to start it up again. And then it was just something that when he said that, I just completely lost it. And to me, the argument was ridiculous to begin with. So in my head, if you can understand, when I get like that and I feel like something's ridiculous, I'm going to go that extreme and ridiculous. And so it wasn't a real debate to me. Because like I said, I don't
have Prince
conversations with peasants that don't understand the musicality of genius. So that was a paper plate I call Prince conversations fine china conversations. So that was the one I had with Will, was more of a paper plate conversation, so it wasn't even a real debate.
Before I even get to that,
we're gonna ignore. I told you I deleted all those emails. I read one with Julie because they asked the question, but I deleted all those emails. So I'm just going to address the one to where it says, again, one of the listeners, they quoted, this question was directed towards Julie, Haley, and Whitney, because they combined it all. I guess they thought we were all on the same show, but they asked, they quoted me, and it says, hold on, let me pull it up again because I just lost it. Okay. Mm-hmm. It says, quote, Will Brown, it says, Prince can learn a thing or two from MJ, and it quotes me and says, the only thing Prince could learn from MJ was about that belt collection for those needles.
See,
and it says,
wow. Nasty, just nasty.
Okay, it says,
blasphemy.
She asked a question.
Pure blasphemy.
No, it's not. It's the truth, actually. It is
not the truth. It is not the truth.
Oh, where's the mute button at? That's what I'm trying to find, because I told you not.
No, you know, you know that.
You already heard this question.
Q-Lan.
So I'm trying to ask. I haven't got to the question yet.
I'm trying to stay civil. I'm trying to stay civil. You know what? You know that Michael.
I'm trying to stay civil with this mute button.
When it comes to showmanship, musicianship, Michael Jackson was in the starting five, the starting lineup, and Prince was on the bench.
Okay, let me read the questions before we get to Will, because
don't care.
Okay, all right. It says that after they quoted us, it says, how do you deal with her? The question was posed to the people that were listening in. EB already gave his response last week. And Julie and EB gave their response to it, so I can't even get it out, man. I told y'all this is live radio. I can't control none of this that's going on right now. Okay, if I can get the question out, okay. She asked the question, one of the listeners, and said, how do y'all deal with her? After quoting me, it said, that's the question asked. So Whitney and Haley, they want you to respond to that question.
With how we deal with you?
Yes.
What? I was confused.
I was too.
We all are.
You gotta listen.
Yeah, they were quoting. They were quoting what I said about when we were doing debate, and they thought. I'm assuming they thought I was ridiculous for that, so they were asking how do y'all deal with her, and then they were like, "What were you thinking?" Basically, what were you thinking during that whole time when we were debating? That's what the question is centered around.
This is good.
Right.
What were you thinking during the debate?
I just thought it was a mess. Like, I'm not about to keep arguing about crazy. Okay, he is not it. Period. As far as you personally, you got to pick your battles. Okay, and I'm just over that whole conversation.
I guess they want to know what did you think when I said that. That's what it's going against. Julie thought it was nothing wrong with what I said. That's what I told her. Like, thank you for that, Julie, because that's what my point was.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with what I said. She
yes,
said
it was.
EB got it as well. So, like I said, we got a bunch of emails. All of them called us foolish after that cartoon. They called me and Will foolish. We got a lot, several emails about that. I guess coinciding with what Haley just said. So, yeah, they said that we're foolish and... Yeah, a lot of them were picking MJ. Like I said, I deleted all of those because those are unimportant to me. So that's the only one I was reading because it was directed to everybody that was on the show. We gonna keep going through these emails because
they agree with me.
One's not gonna get me wild up again. He tried to make me go there, and I'm going to read his emails about the show. People want me to explain. It was two of my friends that listened to the show live. And they were texting me during that Pito Grigio experience show and was asking what was wrong with him. So we're going to get to those emails in just a second. But they got some to Haley and Whitney. Hold on just a second. Let me pull it up for 5 seconds. Give me a second. Okay. Mm-hmm. It says, this is from Jacqueline from the DMV area. It says, I would like to say I am enjoying the show this far. I was the listener who commended you on the Kimberell discussion because she was completely shady in my opinion. I caught a previous show where there were two lovely women discussing college. I am too a grad student and want to know your process of going through the motions.
Of grad school?
Listen.
All right. Yeah.
Time for that.
Right. We need a whole separate show.
We need 2 weeks worth of shows. I will say personally, though, I don't know if they meant that, like, how do you get through grad school or anything like that, but...
yeah, that's what it says here. It says through the motions.
Okay.
I think that's what she's pertaining to with grad school is going through the motions of that when you're having a down day, I guess.
You just have down days and you just have to get through it. I mean, there's not, grad school for me has been a whole different ballgame in undergrad and it's, a lot of it is about time management, which I'm not good at with. Grad school in particular, so it's really, it's like everything else. If you set out and say you're going to do something, you got to do it. So day by day, little by little, I try to work through, like, the current project I'm working on. Some days I don't get a lot of it done, and that's okay. I think the most important thing for me has just to really been to be patient and forgiving with myself because... People will talk about grad school like you can just really rip through it, but you can't. It's not like that. So just being patient, understanding that you're not going to understand all of it. Your professors don't care what all you got going on. You got papers due, and you got to get through them. And you just remember, like, whatever the reason was for you going to grad school, you have to keep that in the forefront of your mind because you will quit otherwise. So it's got to be bigger than... I'm just in grad school. You got to actually have a reason that you're going through it and just know that you'll finish it when it's time.
Thank you, Jacqueline, for that question. That's a very sophisticated name. So I feel like you're already doing better than me. But you're already doing better than me in life because you're in grad school. And I already made it to y'all. I already know what that is. Yeah, you already had me because I'm not doing it. I should. Okay, this was from Lalia. She's commented on the show before. She sent an email. She says, oh, my God, what says OMG at the MJ versus Prince segment? She says, I don't understand how y'all could keep up with what she was saying, because I had to pause it multiple times to stop from crying, because that was so funny. And when she brought up Charles Barkley and did the impression, I about fell out laughing. And it says, here it says, how, she's like, wait, hold on, I'm losing, hold on, it just went up. Okay, it says to both of y'all, it says, what is it, that you love, this is random, what is it you love about, going to school? That's all it says. It says, what do you love about, most about school, well, I guess whatever you're going to school for. She didn't, I hope I'm saying your name right, Lelia, because it's spelled, like it sounds, so I hope I'm saying it right, Lelia. You could correct me if I'm saying it wrong, but it says, I'm pronouncing it Lelia, because that's what it sounds like it says. But it's saying, what do you enjoy most about school?
I would say for me, it's just learning, which sounds cliche, but like, I supervise 11 students, and so they all study something different. And so when I had to meet with them, like, biweekly, they all have to teach me something. So my students study things from ag to graphic design or just whatever it is. And so each week they're teaching me something new. So I think that's pretty cool because you can never know enough, you know, and that's what I think. And so for me, education at large is you're just constantly learning and gaining different opportunities. So I think that's always cool, just being knowledgeable about a lot of different things.
I'm a human development family science major, so the part that I enjoy the most really is being able to be involved, like, with people, because that's really what I'm studying, is how we develop, what changes us, how the environment plays a role in, like, changing society and everything like that. So that's what I enjoy, like, getting people's backgrounds, their stories, what makes them tick, what makes them ambitious, all of that, just really getting to know people and, you know, how I can actually help do anything to change whatever their circumstances or to help them go forward.
Man, we got so many emails. I'm trying to pull them up while y'all was talking. Y'all are crazy with these emails. Okay, this one is from Jersey City. This is what he said I could say his name, Jersey City. It says, let me see. Let me go back down. Okay, it says, what, y'all had the hip-hop, they're referencing last week's show. I got them all jumbled up here. I'm just reading the ones that I'm just pulling up. Last week, it says, what was the name of the hip-hop artist that said that, Mayhem? And I think, what was that name of that rapper that he was talking, he's basically asking me, what's the name of that rapper that he was, that Shaka was referencing last week?
Oh, the Shaka was talking about.
Yeah, Mayhem or something. It just says Mayhem. You don't know?
No.
I'm trying to. Is it? I don't know. They said they enjoyed the conversation. Thank you, Jersey City. I don't know what your. It just says that he just told me to read the name of his email. It says Jersey City, whatever. So I don't know what the name of that was. Hold on, let me pull it up just a second. I'm gonna look it up real quick. Mayhem. Is it with an A? Like Mayhem, like, what, is that how you spell it, or do you know? I'm gonna look it up in, hold on just a second. Let me pull it. Oh, it's spelled, I just Googled it, and it corrected it, and it's spelled with an E. It's M-E-Y-H-E-M. It's called Mayhem Lorne, that's what it says. It says Mayhem Lorne, so, that's who it is.
Mayhem Lorne.
Hip hop artist. Yeah, it says, I guess he has a new mixtape out or something. You can check it out. It's spelled Mayhem Lauren. So Jersey City, that's the name. I just Googled it because I didn't know. I told y'all, that's why we have Shock on, because I told y'all, I'm really, like, still stuck in 1994. So sometimes I come out to listen to current hip-hop, but then sometimes I go back. Like I said, I told you, I like my hip-hop marinated and sautéed in misogyny. So the 90s press and curl rap is sort of my era, you know what I mean? So I stick with that. So.
And Brown Liquor.
I already said this on the show.
And Brown Liquor.
Thank you so much, Will, because I'm about to pull yours up from the Pinot Grigio Experience show. Okay, first off, let me say this. Okay, EB was gone, like I said. Oh, yeah, somebody texted me and told me that they said I was wrong for calling you out. That Uber driver, they really liked that. I said a joke on the show. I was like, EB was gone, that show, and I was like, yeah, EB is moonlighting as an Uber driver this weekend. And so he has a new gospel EP coming out called Fishnet Condoms that he's having his customers listen to. Now it's already popping in the street because he was doing a show. We gonna get to that in just a bit because I want to know more about that because it sounded amazing. But yeah, he already getting shows for the Fishnet Condoms EP, gospel mm-hmm. EP. So he out here popping in these streets.
EB, I told you, EB.
So that show he was gone, and so. Yeah, I'm gonna blast Will because he's out here making claims and making accusations against me that's saying I'm falsifying information. And so I'm gonna clear this all up right here. Okay, first off, when we did that show, he called me twice and I told him I was ready. I told him about the show, whatever, how we was going, that Tiffany was gonna come on a little bit later and we were just gonna jack around until she got on. So we sitting there doing it. And he calls me again and tells me that he knocked his peanut over and was using it as Windex. And that it was just as good as Windex. That's why he laughing, because he know I'm not lying. That's what he said. And right then I was like, oh shoot, he drunk as hell. And so I was like, Tiffany, I swear to God, you can ask Tiffany when she come on. I messaged her and told her, listen, if you can get on as fast as you can, that will be amazing because he is lit right now and I don't know how far it's going to kick in. And when I tell you that Pino kicked in all the way because we were doing good for about an hour, but I was like, okay, when she gets on, then you can, you know, do the thing, the engineer thing and just lay back in the cut. No, he keeps coming out. He's like, I really love this conversation that's going on right now. But what I want to do is play a song for you. He keep playing. I had a 90s theme show, and he comes out with his brown liquor playlist playing Urban and Fire, Shaka Khan. And me and Tiffany having a great conversation. He went, okay, I'm going to stop the show again because I'm stopping the show because I love the conversation going on. He started playing James Brown. And I'm trying to wrap the show up early because we got 30 minutes left. And so he keeps playing songs. He legitimately played two songs back to back for like 15 minutes. And so we didn't get to finish the show because I said, this is the Will Brown show, everybody. You're not listening to Soul Tap Radio. This is the Will Brown show right now that's happening. And so it kept going on. And then I was like, with your half a drunk ass. And then he got his co-host from other shows thinking that we fighting on air. They was ready to put you in an A in it, Will. That show was crazy. They were ready to put you in. Okay, and that was actually a really big show. I thank y'all so much for tuning in that show because it was three people that hit me up, and then later on that night, they were like, yo, what's wrong with your man? Because he's wilding right now. That was all the text messages mm-hmm. I was getting. And then Adrian hit me up. I don't want to put it all out what she said, but she was ready to schedule an AA meeting for you, Will, because she didn't know what was going on.
I had to fill in for EB.
I already predestined that situation was going to happen because I know Will.
That's how
sanctified these other shows are on the network because I'm the heathen of the network. And so they don't understand that me and Will go at it like this all the time. It's all in fun. So don't think that we just be talking crazy. We like this all the time. I already know how Will is. That's why I said that. But yeah. Let me pull up what he said. This is Will. This is Will, but he used the Studio W Buzz page to make his comments to me trying to be anonymous. Let me tell you what he said. He says, this is from the Studio W page on Facebook. He says, nope, Will's mic must stay on. You already fired him and replaced him with EB. I say Will's mic must stay. And it says, hashtag anonymous. And then I respond and say, is anonymous your first name? And then I tag his name, Will. And then he gonna say, I'm appalled. You know you fired me without notice. And to broadcast fake news about me being that anonymous person is beyond imagination. EB, be careful. It will happen to you. Watch your back. And then I said, first of all, log into Will, because first off, you can't be anonymous saying I fired you, Will. How you gonna do that? First off,
I was inboxed.
How you gonna rock? And then he gonna say, he gonna follow up with it and say it was the man. What? So you was taking man? You was on PNP, Prince and Pino. That's what he was on. He gonna sit here and tell on himself on every platform, and then gonna say that he gonna sue me for. And he gonna sue me for coming. And he's gonna sue on himself. He gonna sue me, and you see him telling on himself. They gonna throw this out in court. Soon as the judge, all I gotta do is pull up your Facebook. And I got all these screenshots, so you can't delete none of these messages.
Oh my God, somebody bring me a tissue.
He gonna sue me for $500 because that's how much. He just want a free case of Pinot. See, that's what I'm telling y'all. He wants to sue me for a whole case of Pinot Grigio. That's what he said. And pay for his lawyer fees for that. I got a good laugh on that, y'all. That was. Explain yourself, sir. What you got to say after that? Explain yourself now. Since you want to jump in, explain yourself for these posts that you put on my page. Explain yourself.
I say that I'm innocent, and I say I am. I said, and I'm going to sue you for a whole case of Pinot.
You were drunk live on my show. You were drunk.
I was not drunk.
Not only did I recognize it, the listeners recognized it.
That's right.
People that work for you recognized it.
I think, you know what?
Y'all listened to the end of the show. Adrian was trying to kick you off of her show. Because the Adrian Back show airs after this show comes on.
She was trying to
She was ready to get you off the mic.
Woman, hold.
Y'all can listen to that show back and listen how Adrian would tell him to get off the mic.
So you and Adrian, you and Adrian been talking behind my back. Is that what's going on?
She said this. She was on. That's how drunk she was on the show, y'all. He don't even realize that Adrian was telling him to go. She said that she was listening to the show in her car, and she was like, "What is wrong with Will?" That on air, Will.
No. See, some
if
people
I
don't
edit none of that out.
No,
I want
you don't understand.
I produce a drink on the show, and this is not fabrication, and I tell the truth. When I tell y'all he drinks on the show, I am not making this up, y'all. I'm telling y'all. I put that Pinot Grigio show on there to prove my case.
Okay.
And that show is evidence.
It's now going to be a thousand.
From now on, you never get to disclaimer me on this show. We got to disclaimer you for drinking on the show. Because I've done multiple times on this show and other extracurricular activities, and I function way better than you do, first off. Secondly, you don't get to disclaimer me no more on this show.
You do realize that this is being recorded. You do realize this is being recorded, right?
Yes, this is being recorded.
That's exactly right. That is further evidence. Further evidence.
No, it's evidence against you. You're not even good at this. How you gonna be your own lawyer and you can't even defend yourself right? Because all the evidence is stacked against you.
Because you have no evidence that I was drinking at all. You know,
admitted on air that you were drinking.
I didn't admit anything.
Yes, you did.
Oh, really?
That show with Haley and Whitney, when you played the Wrap It Up music on us, you said, I don't know, the Pino kicked in. I got evidence of you saying this.
Oh.
So you can stop all this.
Okay.
I could go back 3 more shows and prove my case.
Uh-huh. And then also, you mentioned also on air that you were drinking brown liquor.
Yes, I did, and I was functioning at all high levels. I ain't thankful about what I do. I'm not thankful about what I say on this show. You the one can't function, sir. I function quite well.
Well, guess what?
You the one can't function on air.
Q-Lan.
Producer.
I am your brilliant producer that you continue to throw under the bus. Now, let me ask you a question.
You said you were going to sue me. First off.
Going to sue you.
I'm bringing the evidence to the people and to the listeners. And once again, they are on my side on this one. They all heard it. They all witnessed lies. what I had to deal with.
See, you have to understand.
I'm on my side, Will.
You know, I have many voices. You have to understand. It could have been, but I've been using my Barry White voice. That's, you know, it could have been one of those things. And you misinterpreted misinterpreted that I was drinking.
You already said you was all P&P, Perks and Pinot. You told on yourself. So we go, okay, his case is, he doesn't have a case. So my case is.
Tom
rambling and didn't justify nothing he said. What's your case?
Say it one more time so we can move on. No, you know what? I think you're a closet Republican. I really do. Because you try to switch things up. Yeah, you deflect. You deflect. You just upset.
He said, I'm reading this all out. You're acting a whole lot like 45. How dare you?
You're trying to deflect. You're trying to divide and deflect. That's what you're doing. Now, I'll tell you, what we're going to do, do you think we should play SWV, or should you come all the way from Oklahoma out here to California to play the song for me?
Oh, my God. Listen, we can do the whole show without songs, since you were... We're going to do the Raggedy People news and then go to break. We're going to do that, but Will doesn't have a case, and we're going to move on with the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I do have a case.
You're just like 45. You try to divide and reflect. Okay.
You being like 45 because you're ignoring the facts, sir. I got all the evidence proving what was going on.
You acting
like 45.
All I said that because Prince couldn't even hold Michael Jackson's socks. That's why you're upset about this. That's what this whole thing is all about.
I'm not upset about nothing.
You have not proven your case.
I was laughing through the whole thing. Thank God that show happened so I can have evidence of what I got to deal with. That's all I'm going to say. And we going to move on. We're not addressing the real issue, EB. He's still bitter about me getting rid of him. That's what I said because... It's multiple shows, and it's evidence with that, like I said, he gets distracted with that Pinot Grigio. And so, one show he talks about, I'm talking about Kelly Price, he thinks I'm talking about Kelly Clarkson. For 5 minutes, he thought I was talking about Kelly Clarkson when I was talking about Kelly Price. Then, the Black Music Month shows, the hip hop show, he comes on, we talk about gangster rap, but he talk about Will Smith, just the two of us, is the favorite song. So, and then, he gets the names mixed up when we do an interview. So yes, I wouldn't say fire, because that's a strong word. I just thought we could progress better. He's doing an amazing job with the song. I give him all the credit for that, because he's an excellent engineer. Anytime we need that. But EB, he's still bitter about that. Can you understand that, EB? He is still bitter about that. And he got hostility still. That's why he plays the music on us every week. Because if we don't include him in on the conversation, he's still bitter about it. So that's, I already got the angst on that, Will. Because you're still bitter about it. So that's why you cut us off at the end of the show every week. Because you're still bitter. Listen. I don't know what it is. I would suggest you create the Will Brown Show, you know, not on this show, but the Will Brown Show. Get you your show on there so you can put all the defamation of my character, you can get it all off your chest and saying how I fired you and that, you know,
you did fire me.
You know, take over the show. You get what I'm saying? That takeover spirit. You can do that. You know what I mean? You can have therapy and get this off your chest. Come on, let's have therapy right now on the Soul Savage Radio. What is it? Why are you still mad about getting fired? Let's ask that question. Let's pose this question.
Well, I'm going to ask you the question. Have you ever been fired before? Has anyone on this panel ever been fired before? Anybody, for whatever reason, I don't care.
Oh,
Yeah, has anyone on his panel ever been fired before? That is the question. I think it's a legitimate one.
Oh my God.
Yes or no.
I don't think nobody's been fired.
Oh, no.
I've been fired.
Okay, how did it feel, EB?
You know, it was like a weight lifted off my shoulders. I didn't need that stress.
Okay.
Well,
guess what? I didn't feel that way. I was pissed off. Okay.
Get it out, Will. There you go. Explore those feelings. Let's get to the root of this.
Q-Lan, the last person in the world I would want as my therapist is Q-Lan Green. No, Q-Lan, never mind. Okay.
I think I'm doing a great job because you just expressed to me that you pissed. Explore those feelings so you can get the animosity off your chest.
It's no animosity. I love you, Q-Lan Green.
No, you're not, because you keep, why you keep playing the Wrapping Up music on us then?
That has nothing to do with my love.
Because when you enter the conversation, you like, oh, you get an extra 30 minutes. But it ain't even got to the time to get off here. You already got your hand on the butt. So explain that, sir. Why is it whenever you in the conversation, you give us an extra 30 minutes, but when you're not, you hitting the ending music on us? Explain that, sir.
You know what? I think this
we want answers.
Actually, this is a reversal because I think you're the one with the problem. I'm cool over here.
Oh, you see how he's trying to deflect his energy onto me? Did y'all catch that? I asked a direct question, and he's, you know what, we're going to move on to the show.
Okay.
Because once again, he does this in front of company every week.
Hey, he
can't act right, y'all. I'm so sorry that our producer that drinks on the show can't accept accountability for his feelings about being fired. I'm so sorry about that, y'all.
I don't believe she said that. Like I said, I think you're a closet Republican. I really think you're a closet Republican. I really believe that, Q-Lan, but it's okay.
You can keep deflecting all you want to, but guess what? The facts are the facts. The evidence is the evidence. This is the 100% truth. I said the truth about Prince. You didn't want to hear it. I told you what he said. You said that was fabrication, and I sent you the video, and you didn't even look at it. Because guess what?
You know, as a matter of fact, actually,
and guess
I don't
what?
Even.
You don't want the truth.
We know
the truth. I'm giving these facts.
We know that MJ is the king. I don't have to go that far. I even think that Rick James is a better artist, musician, and all-around performer than...
You can deflect all you want to, but until you get this animosity off your chest, what can we do to make this better, Will? What can we do to make this better?
Hey, let's keep the show going. This is the Soul Savage Show with Q-Lan Green. Here we go right here.
Soul Savage Show, y'all. This is...
before.
WB, you're always on my mind. And we kicked that break off with That's What I Need, also by SWV. Welcome back to the Soul Savvy Show, where host Q Lynn Green continues to throw her brilliant producer under the moving train. But that's okay. Hey, we're welcome.
What y'all know about that right there? That's cassette tape music. 45 years of a classic album. It's about time. SWV, what y'all know about that right there? That's cassette tape music. I used to have that. What y'all know about that? What y'all know about side A, side B? What y'all know about that? That's Cutlass 1989 Cutlass music right there. Y'all don't know nothing about
that.
Oh my God. Shout out to Brian Morgan that produced that beautiful song, is actually singing on that. Shout out to him. We're going to get him on the show. I'm in contact and I'm trying to get him on the show because he is a legend, legendary producer, and we're going to get him on this show. So, yeah, 25 years, October 27, 1992, SWV's debut album, It's About Time, was on the scene. It's a lot of great albums that came out on this release date. Yeah, it's all different anniversaries. Sade, woo, my God. It was so hard. I was going to play the classic, again, it's a, another anniversary album that came out was Prince's 1999, and guess what? I didn't want to play it. I was so tempted to play it because that album means so dear to me. But I was like, no, because we got Haley on. And guess what? I'm being respectful and was like, you know what? I ain't going to do you like that because that is my all-time top Prince album, and I didn't play it. That album came out 35 years ago. So, Haley. I'm giving the respect because, you know, I played back to back on you. So I played you Solange, the last show you were on. This show, anniversary of my favorite album, one of my favorite albums, and I didn't play it. So I should get some kind of credit for that.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Thank you.
You see, I, you know what? I felt the disrespect all up in that. Just the tone of that. No, I'm kidding. I felt it just a pinch. Because you were like, thank you. I felt like you really meant that. That's why I'm taking this disrespect, because I feel like you were like, oh, thank you so much, because I didn't want to hear it. That's how I'm interpreting that with that tone.
That's very accurate. No, you're right.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I felt that. I felt that's what you were meaning. So, okay, that got me a little, it fluctuated just a little bit. It, my Prince Army, I'm trying to tuck it back. I'm trying to tuck it back. So I should get some kind of credit for that because it's very intense. Oh yeah, I know EB, you were saying, I read your tweet earlier, and when you were saying you were having, I know you said you went out with somebody that's, you know, a part of the industry and that y'all had a great music conversation, and we are going to get her on the show because when I read her Twitter page and saw Prince as her background, and then also she's a really deep in the Prince Army with her pin suite. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Like I said, Prince Conversations is fine China. So I can't wait to have her on the show so we can just spread out the fine China and really get into this Prince revolution and get on this wave. Because I've been waiting for somebody on the show, and I feel like she's going to be the one. So I can't wait to have her on. Okay. Yeah, man, we're running. I can't believe we spent so much time. We let Will have therapy, his anti-therapy, because he wouldn't open up to the class, and so we didn't really have it. So he spent a whole 10 minutes talking about nothing. I was trying to get through it, but we got some more emails. I'm gonna read these real quick because I know we got to get to the Raggedy People news and the Savvy news. We're gonna read these really quickly, and it says. One of my friends, I'm reading his text message. He wrote this, the show that Julie was on. I think it was referencing the show Haley was on when we were doing the best 90s movies. And we started I started talking about Lawrence Fishburne because I did I guess this is what he said. You are so effing old. That's what the text said. He's like bringing up Shucky Ducky Quack Quack. He's like, y'all are so old. And then it says when we were, quote, we were trying to quote parts from Poetic Justice, he's like, y'all would quote Mickey Howard and Keith Washington. Y'all would remember that. I can't say what he said on there, but he basically called us old. He's like, y'all would remember Keith Washington and Mickey Howard, like the most irrelevant things from that movie, which y'all old. But he said basically y'all old asses. That's what he said. Y'all would quote that.
Mm.
So thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you for that.
16 years that calls me old.
Yeah, keep on.
You the same age as Keith Sweat, actually.
Yeah.
But your old ass. But,
keep on listening and tell your friends.
This is Alan. He said you remember when I was cracking on him on one show and saying how old he was? And he's like, I ain't as old as your, he's like, as old as your hat that's stretching out your big ass forehead. He's sitting there cracking on me. He called, basically making forehead jokes, which aren't true because I actually grew up to my forehead. Thank you very much. He's been doing forehead jokes on me since we were in high school. Putnam City West, shout out to he graduated from there. I graduated from Armour, but we still been friends, but he's cracking on my forehead. Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much for cracking on my forehead with your old ass knees. At least I ain't the same age as Sean Paul and got his old braid. You got Sean Paul's old braid, Alan. Yes, I'm calling you out again. And I hope you with your old ass Sean Paul braids. It ain't even in no more. You in your mid 30s. Rocking a man bun. Get out of here, Alan. Since you want to crack on my forehead, make forehead jokes. Actually, I kind of do stretch out my scully hats, but that's not the purpose, okay? Yes, I do stretch some of my hats out, but that's not the point. That's not funny. You cracking forehead jokes. I get all them jokes all the time. They just sit and just, that's why I can't feel no way about myself when you got friends that just dismantle you. It's crazy. So thank you so much, Alan, with your old kneecaps and with your champagne. Thank you so much. But we're going to read some more. This is from, I was trying to see if they were the people that Beyonce, somebody wrote an email and said, what did I think about what the Beyonce fan said, because I didn't respond to it. I didn't agree nothing what they said. Like I said, when EB was giving me a compliment, I'm going to give him a compliment and say that he actually does his research. And what he said about Beyonce, I've heard that it's not my first time hearing that. And he brought a different perspective to it about the marketing that I never really looked at. But I'm not 100% disagreeing with what he said because I feel like he has some merit to it. So. And they asked me, did I catch, he said, well, they referenced that nobody in their reference or heard EB say all the Beyonce gigs he was giving. I actually did. I was just ignoring it because I didn't want to, because if I would have revved on that, he would have kept going. So yeah. I caught everything he said when he was saying about not like that. When he said, he was throwing a little slide stuff. I heard it. I just didn't want to just, because I knew y'all were going to go in. We already read the fan mail. A lot of people said we should have said their names. I'm not that person. If you have something negative to say, you know, like I said, if you wanted to put out there, you know what you said, so you know who it's directed at. So I didn't want to say their names. If they would have told me to, I would have, but it wasn't a big deal to me. Like I said, we get a lot of negative. Like one I'm just looking at now, it's somebody from Ladaria says, well, it seems like y'all, this is reference, I'm assuming this is a reference to the Tina Campbell when we were talking about that. It said, well, it seems like y'all the ones with no Christian values talking about a woman making an honest living by serving the Lord. Just because she voted for someone you don't like doesn't give anyone the right to question who she prays to at night. To tell people to throw that album in the trash is not okay. Sorry, not sorry. Oh, you felt, I knew that. That's what I'm saying. The Keisha Cole fans, the Jean Aiko fans and the Tina Campbell fans did not appreciate me saying y'all throw them in the dumpster. I'm sorry, y'all. I knew y'all was gonna feel way about it. That's why I said it. You said, that really touched her. She said, to tell people to throw her album in the trash is not okay. What else you gonna do with it? Because apparently y'all ain't buying it either. She had a
chance
on her show.
You don't have.
Right.
You don't have it.
That album went double copper. What I'm going to do with it? That album went double copper. She got to wait till next year to promote that album. Because y'all, listen, they need to hire me as marketing and public relations, because I could have told her that was going to be the back. Her and Miss Bosky Opskirt, a.k.a. Chrisette Michelle, both of them need to do a tour together, you know, since they, you know, advocating for an evil tree. They should do a joint tour and get these fans back, because these albums is going double copper out here. I'm just saying. So, yeah, Till the Dollar, I don't even know if I'm saying your, I'm pronouncing it right. Yes, I said your name, because you, like I said, I can't stand your Facebook. I need to get that on a t-shirt. I can't stand your Facebook cousin. Cause I'm pretty sure this is somebody from Facebook that, cause there's a lot of people that share. I think these are some of the people that don't like me on Facebook, and they creating fake accounts to say this stuff. Cause I'm trying to figure out how they get a hold of this show. You know, cause this email ain't signed up for the website. So I'm trying to figure out where they get this stuff from. Cause they ain't signed up to they ain't subscribed. Cause I know, I get all the emails, y'all. I know your IP addresses and everything. So I didn't just throw that out there, but my God. But yeah. We gonna move past it. Like I said, I know y'all, he said put the names out there. I know y'all gonna respond to it. That's exactly why I didn't, cause I know y'all gonna search their names as soon as I put their names out there. LaDaria, I don't even know how to spell this. If y'all can figure out a way to spell this, y'all can do you, if you know how to spell Daria, go ahead. But I'll put her name out there, cause I don't like your Facebook cousins, and we gonna go on with the show. Cause Facebook cousins, they late on the scene. You know, they get news like 7 days later. So when it's hot, they already like behind a week. Cause we talked about Tina Campbell, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. And they just now responding. Yeah. This is from yesterday. So they just now, y'all Facebook cousins, y'all just loud wrong all the time. So it's really funny when y'all comment. But yeah, I appreciate the comments just for logging on the right there. Thank you for that. Let me know you paid attention to the show. Thank you so much for that. You're Christian. If you feel like Tina Campbell got Christian values with Trump, go ahead. That's your thing. But everybody else, they have good sense and got good common sense. We see a different perspective. So, you, whatever God you pray to, I hope, you know, you get your life right and, you know, keep these messages to yourself. I'll just say that because you lie wrong. Okay. Let's move on with the Raggedy People News. Like I said, it's self-explanatory what Raggedy People News is. You'll understand. It should be self-explanatory at this point. Talk about, guess we could get into it. I'll let EB take over. Ken Do Isaac. Light eyes, civil rights face, Ken Do Isaac. Take it over, EB, because I know you got something to say. And so take it over and let's get to it.
That deadbeat father, lying, conniving, cheating, non-producing, broke-back, bug-eyed, nappy-headed, big-lip, honey gum
having,
silver-back, gorilla-looking. You deserve to be miserable. You are the worst kind of scum on this earth. You put Mary through hell and have the nerve to continually demand more money through the courts. You're dragging this divorce out to where it doesn't need to be. You are the reason that her name, her brand, is $11 million in debt at this point. And she's not even asking you for all of it. She's not even asking you for half. She's asking you for $6 million, and she'll let you go. But you keep talking about you can't get no job. What job did you ever have besides being Mary J. Blige's husband? But thank you. I do want to thank you, Kendu. Thank you so much for inspiring the Strength of a Woman album. It is a great album that is in stores now. Everybody go pick it up. I promise you'll love it. And you can also see Mary in Mudbound. That's on Netflix, November 17th. I saw an advanced screening. I do think she's going to get at least an Oscar nomination. She's already won several awards for it. Kendu, thank you. Thank you for this push and this rise. But you the bum, nigga.
You sure are. First off, I know Target is always hiring. It's plenty of applications you can fill out. You know, go to Costco. You know, Shake Shack is hiring all the time. McDonald's. You know, fill out the application. You go online. You know, yeah, she hired her for public relations. You can go ruin her career if you want to. You know, both of y'all, you know, both raggedy, so y'all both can benefit from the raggediness. So, and also, Kendu looks like one of Michael Vick's dogs that lost as well. So, yeah, Kendu, just get a job, sir. You know what I mean?
Get a job.
Asking
that's
for getting $65,000 a year.
Right.
When Mary J was already established, I want to know how you feel entitled to money that ain't yours and you ain't got a child together. Where does that come from, sir? Y'all ain't got no kid, and then you want her to pay for your child you got.
You want her to
from
pay,
outside the
pay
marriage.
For your kid. You crazy.
The audacity. Listen here, you old face, civil rights face, light eyes, probably living out your car right now. That you probably outside of Mary's house right now playing her first album, I'm Going Down, because you ain't around. You probably got her music on blast and you miserable inside because you got that raggedy spirit up in you. So you feeling the raggediness is just taking over your body. So I would just say go fill out that application. That's Target because they always hiring. Like I said, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, you know.
But
maybe they Christian, they kind of they homophobic Christian spirit can rub off on you and maybe you can get high there, but get you a job, sir.
This
get
is what I don't get though. His claim is that she's man bashing him and telling their business and that is affecting his ability to get a job. Number one, you had to have had a job to get another job. You never had a job. Number two, you don't marry Mary J. Blige, who has built a career on speaking about her love life, her personal life, and then expect her not to speak about it whenever you do her wrong. That makes zero sense. Zero sense.
It doesn't.
So you deserve everything you get. You deserve it.
Yeah. She's the only raggedy people news, thankfully, so we can move on to this next one. I know
right.
Trump... Listen, I told you he does something every week. We ain't even gonna talk about that because we ain't got enough time to get into his foolery. Like I said, from the beginning, like this whole they talking about now with this opiate. I already told y'all weeks ago what was up with that, that they creating safe havens for people to do heroin in those suburban communities. I told y'all this weeks ago, so I'm not surprised by any of this. Now they want to get regulations and now they want to get people help, but. When this was happening during the crack epidemic, oh, they were criminals and all that stuff against black and brown people. But now y'all feel sympathy for these drug addicts that's pushing opiates and a bunch of dope heads. Now y'all got sympathy because it's one of your raggedy children that freebase with low lives. That's your child. They hang around with people that do the new crack. I told you that's the new crack. That mess. They own everything. They take... They grandma's blood pressure medicine. That's how much they in the drugs. These are the people they create regulation for. It's for somebody that do their grandma's high blood pressure pills and take Sudafed and stuff they use for compressors. Like this is for a compressor. Like I don't. They want you to go to the store to get some Sudafed, and you like they get ready to shoot. Like what is it? You trying to die, sir? Why you on Sudafed? I thought this would go on a car. You Freon. I need this for the AC compressor. You snorting it up, sir? What's going on with me? Yeah, these are people that freebase Freon that go on your car. These are the Caucasian. These are Caucasian people that do this. So we're gonna move on from that and get to some savvy news. We got so much savvy news to talk about before we get to the topic. Let's start off with. I had it pulled up and I just lost it. Okay, here it is. I guess we get Whitney and hey, everybody the guest opinions on this first because I know EB, you want this in Raggedy People News, but it's savvy news to me. So we'll just say,
right.
It's a DJ. I'm trying to pull up the story that's not playing.
In DC.
Yes, that's
it's
not playing.
A couple of them.
Yes, that's not playing R. Kelly. Because of all the different stories that came out, some different reasons from the 2002 case I read, but What do y'all think of that, the DJs deciding not to play R. Kelly? Helen, Whitney, or Haley, whoever wants to go first, y'all can go ahead.
I think this is funny. Me and Whitney just had this conversation not too long ago in the car, and I had asked her, I was like, well, since the recent news about R. Kelly, does this mean we can't play, like, the Ignition remix at the cookouts? And Whitney told me that we couldn't play it no more. So I guess we've already decided. So, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. Like, R. Kelly is out of control. And so I'm just like, yo, we can't keep ignoring this man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm right. not with everybody else as much as I love Ignition Remix, and I hate that he's doing all of this, but we need to go ahead and just let that stuff die, like all his music. So I'm cool with it.
Y'all jump in. Just whatever you feel. Just say it.
I mean, if it's all true, because maybe I wasn't there, maybe it's not, but I just can't, I don't feel good about it. And that happened way before this. Like,
mm-hmm.
I used to listen to his music a lot more, but as things started to come out, and, you know, I go look it up for myself and start looking at things, and even when, I forget what magazine that article was, where R. Kelly actually spoke about, like, his life, how he grew up, and all of that stuff. And I really started reading that and kind of looking at all these different situations that keep popping up. I just can't ignore it, I guess. So I'm not going to bash anybody if they do play it. You know, that's on you. It's music. It's fine. But I'm getting to where I'm a bit uncomfortable. Like, I feel like I can't rock with it right now.
What about you, Helen? Is Helen on? She got her, I think Tiffany's, she got Tiffany's Metro PCS from last week. I don't know.
Stop.
Is Helen not on? I don't think Helen's on. Ooh, okay, well, I just pulled up the article. It's a DC collective. It's called Tropics. I think they have some of them have a residence at a hotel. And yeah, I just to kind of summarize what they're saying, it says, he basically said if people come up to him and requested that, one of the members said they will say that they don't have it and that they deleted off their computer. And I would say I think that's commendable that it's actual DJs making an effort to not play his music because, you know, I feel like, you know, like I said, I read articles. It was some years ago, I think 2011, but it was I can't specify if it was a Chicago journalist, but he did thorough. This journalist did thorough research before whatever this information of him, like, have people hostage in his house. This was, like, some years ago when I read this. And he did a full article of, you know, of women, of young black girls that he, like, had legitimate cases against him. Like, it was over 25. And I'm saying this because I saw the documents. Like, he had the actual documents. You can look at the police reports in the counties of Chicago of the women that filed police reports against him. And then he had also records of him giving base credit to one father to cover it up, but giving a base credit on an album to cover it up. And he had over 25 files against, you know, that was against R. Kelly. And so me reading that, that's why I say it's two reasons people is going to look at this. Either they're going to say he's a genius and they can look past it, or the second one is that they're not going to go, they're going to be ignorant and not search for the information because they don't want to realize what the truth is. Or a third one is that they don't even care at all about it. They just want to enjoy the music. And for me, I can't listen. It's a different, I know EB said this, we had the conversation before when Tiffany was on when we were talking about it. I get what EB point is because yes, we're going to have to go back to, you know, he's not the first person to do this. I get that. But it's something different about when you can pinpoint the perversity of his music through the song. And his comes through clear as day. And for me, I can't listen to his sexual songs because it's weird for me because I told y'all when I listen to 12 Play, it sounds like he's instructing somebody to have sex with him. And if you're an adult, you don't need to instruct somebody to have sex with you. You get what I'm saying? And
I done had to instruct a couple of adults. They don't know what they're doing.
I mean, What? We're going into a whole different subject because I ain't never had that issue.
No, no,
so we're going to move on.
Go ahead.
We're going to turn into a whole different show if I go with that. If I try to follow up what he said, it's going to turn into a whole different show. But get back to the point, it's something about his music to where I can't listen to it because I feel like he's talking to a child. And it's clear as day. I could point out many of songs, and the fact that for so many years he called himself the Pied Piper, and I know people put that up there and show the definition of that, but if you realize what he's saying, he's basically saying he lures your children with music. That's the whole concept behind Pied Piper. And so for him to say that for so many years and do that, I'm saying for me, I can't know all information and still be like, oh, I'm rocking. First off, I don't even think some of his music isn't that great. To me, when we really get into the albums, but that's a whole other side of the point, so it's really not that hard for me not to listen to R. Kelly because I don't really like some of his music anyway because I feel like it's perverted. But, like I said, I'm a hypocrite in that same breath. I made the point because I will listen to the songs he's written, Maxwell's Fortunate. Maxwell's Fortunate, I'll listen to that. He wrote that because I feel like that's a great song. And that's why I say I'm a hypocrite. But it's just knowing this information and then knowing that he knowingly does this because he's going to get away. For one, because people in general in society don't care nothing about young black girls. And so that's why he can get away with it. And they're from a certain part of a community. He looks for a specific kind of girls. That's what makes it perverse to me in its whole different level. Even with the girls, yes, he's doing a beige now, but you can tell that the women he's dealing with are on a 12-year-old mentality. So, yeah, he's dealing with 18, 19-year-olds now, but it's still perverse. He's still being manipulative. So, for me, I can't listen to it. EB, if you want to follow it so we can move on to the other stories.
I totally get it. Because I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, well, I'm not sure if he did it. I don't know. Yeah, he's nasty. He did it. Like you were just saying, most of the women he messes with are on like a 12th grade level or 12-year-old mentality. If you've ever listened to R. Kelly speak himself, he is as well. He's not right at all. But my thing, like you said, is being hypocritical. And I think the reason that we notice and we know so much more about the R. Kelly situation is because it's happening in the now. And there's social media and there's access to all this stuff. You know, the artists from the past who have done the same thing, popular artists who have written songs and albums about doing these things that we still listen to is because we didn't live through that, so to speak. And we weren't around, you know, for the controversy, and the controversy didn't get very far because there wasn't that medium of social media where you put something out and all of a sudden everybody has it. But that worries me when people can say, you know, like this whole DJ Collective, I lived in D.C. for 10 years, I ain't never heard of them, but. I'm just saying, to say that, oh yeah, we're not going to play any, and the article was kind of misleading because they said, oh, we're not going to play any R. Kelly. No, what they actually said was they're not playing anyone who has sexually abused, raped, beaten, you know, anybody like that. They're not playing any of their music. But to that I say, how can you be sure? You don't know. Because I know the majority of the people today, they don't know the history behind a lot of things. They don't know what went on. So while they're cutting R. Kelly off, I'm sure they're playing I don't know who the kids listen to nowadays, Mickey Mouse, I don't know. They're playing somebody that has done or is doing these same things. Maybe it was known, maybe it's not known yet. But I just have a problem cutting people off. You know, we talk about this all the time, Q-Man. I separate artists from person. So when I listen to R. Kelly, even the sex, you know what, I don't even listen to the sexual songs that much anymore. I think, so maybe I'm being hypocritical because I noticed that I stopped listening to the sexual songs as much. But I know that there are certain songs and albums of his that I can't stop. I love the music. Just like you said with the Maxwell song, there's so many people he's written for and produced for that I love the music. But I get why that's savvy. I get it. So I'm going to give it to you. That's savvy.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But, yeah, I think for me, yeah, it's, like Miles Davis. Like, he's really, like, you know, he got some dark ass music. Like, I don't even, like, some of his, I can't even listen to because this shit's too dark. Because I know he got a history with, this with Tyson. I already knew about that, but god dog, yeah. It's like, it's really dark. I mean, some people can listen to it and don't, but if you really dig deep into, like, Miles Davis, that shit is dark as hell, and I can't, some of it, I can't listen to, but yeah, it's really dark. Even though it's so, you know, singing, but I can tell, like, the energy from a record, you know, getting it, not to get that deep into it, but yeah, he got some dark stuff. I'm just saying, I can feel it, but yeah, with, like I said before, it was some, I put that posted, my disgust of R. Kelly on a post one time, and somebody checked me and tried to say, hey, you got Rick James and Prince in your your background or whatever, so, I'm like, I'm not stupid. I said this in the post that I was a hypocrite, but they still wanted to add on to, I know, we can go down a laundry list of artists. I'm not stupid. I know, you know, James Brown, you know, all this, we got a whole list of people.
You know,
I'm saying,
it's a lot of
you
people.
Know, well, yeah, it's just specific. When people say that they're actively not listening to his music, I get it, because it's one thing to just sing songs and do whatever, but when it's like, feels like it's in your music, that's a whole different kind of perversity to me. And that's why I'm saying I can't actively listen. And then knowing the information I know, I can't actively listen to R. Kelly because it's weird and it's nasty to me and he's a pervert and all those things. And so any album he puts out now, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to promote it or none of that. And actually, I haven't even played none of his music on his show, and I don't think I'm ever gonna play his music on his show because it's just, I don't rock with it like that. But yeah, we're gonna move on.
I don't even suggest R. Kelly songs, so yeah, we good.
Yeah, I've never played none of his music here, but he's trash, but yeah, shout out to all the DJs doing that. I know you wanted to be ragging people news, but yeah, it gotta be savvy because, you know, at least they're making an active effort to make it be a chain effect or whatever.
Something.
Yeah. But yeah, we move on. We got so much good savvy news to talk about. I'm gonna try to run all these in there. What do y'all think about Issa Rae creating a new HBO or in talks? I don't know all the information, but what do y'all think about a 90s show she's getting ready to be a part of, producing wise behind the scenes? What do y'all think about that?
I hate it.
You hate it?
You hate it.
I love Issa Rae, but I'm going to tell you, I think that we, as a culture right now, we are stuck in this constant state of 90s nostalgia, and everything goes back to the 90s. It's like it's to the point to where I'm not sure that people now, especially in pop culture and the fans, they don't know that the life existed before the 90s. The 90s was not the paramount of everything, but I get why she's doing it, but I feel that this, you know, we can do something else. I mean, come on. It's 90s everything. I'm tired of the 90s.
I'm sitting here reading this is from Deadline. It's saying it's going to be a project will center around African-American family dealing with the events of the Time National Book Award finalist and the Turner House author Angela, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Flournoy will write an EP this untitled project. It says, let me see. Yeah, it just lists the names of the people. I guess it says bridging those later Reagan era and early Clinton years, the drama was centered around the marriage of Cheryl and Jackson, with the former enveloped bounce pushing real estate agent and the latter conflicted LAPD anti-gang task force recruit. The potential series will also feature the couple's teen daughter and son, Ebony and Les. It says, this is long, so I'm getting ADD reading this because this is too much.
I'm going to wait until I see it.
Of college names that I'm not familiar with, too artsy for me to keep going. But hold on. It says, yeah, there's too many big words in here. It says something about UCA and... I can't pronounce none of this, so My college education only took me so far, so I should have let the graduate. I should have let the graduate students read this because it's too many names. I'm getting ADD and I don't want to read this anymore. But anyway, it sounds interesting though because it's talking about that. That's a very specific area, so maybe they'll get deep into what that is, and maybe that story will bring. That's why I'm not dissing it because it's not. Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's going to be a comedy. It sounds like it's going to be a drama. Right. So. If they're getting deep into that, that's a very specific era. Ronald Reagan, that kind of transitions to the Bill Clinton. Right. That is and what they're talking about sounds like very deep.
Reaganomics.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not going. You kind of sound like the people that didn't like Black-ish at first, EB. I'm just saying. People had issue with Black-ish in the name of it, but it turns out to be a lit show because I keep up with it every week. And so you kind of sounded like the Black-ish poses right now, EB. Just a little bit.
I have a confession.
What?
I've never seen a single episode. You know what? I've watched one episode of Black-ish only because Mary was on it. That was the only reason.
Listen, you are missing out on a really quality show. Because people try to compare it to the Cosby Show. It's way better than the Cosby Show to me. And that's saying a lot because I love the Cosby Show still. But it's way better. Black-ish gets in detail with like issues like that affect black
people. You're not supposed to watch the Cosby Show. Bill Cosby is a racist.
I don't know if it's better, but it's good.
See, that's
supposed to watch the Cosby Show.
Oh my God! See, now you put me in an awkward position. Now
I was waiting on somebody.
We're not playing. R. Kelly, but we're watching the Cosby Show. Now what is going on in church? So you messed up.
Okay, you checking me? You checking me a little bit because that is true. You put me up against the ropes a little bit. Do you know what's funny? That when that whole case was going on, every black network like TV1, BET, and what's called BET Her, now they didn't quit changing that name because I was used to Centric. Now they didn't change it to BET Her.
Right.
And so I keep forgetting I got that channel because they didn't change the name to it. But you know what's funny? That when that whole situation came up, they took all of them shows off there because they had it going up. But as soon as that mistrial happened, they like immediately put it right. I was like, "What is going on with this show?" But it's a great show, though. But it's kind of weird though when I watched it because it was one episode where they had a cookout. He was like, "You see how they acting? Because it's my secret sauce." And anytime I put it on there, then he starts making it go. I was like, "Yo, this is whoa! Like this is like." Real adaptation of his life right now. Like, he really out here.
Oh, boy.
Giving, like, and then, yeah, it's a little weird, but yeah, you checked me on that one. I don't know, man. I'm not a Bill Cosby apologist,
No, I don't think you are. You know, I'm not a race apologist at all. But the Issa Rae thing, it's just, like I said, this constant 90s. And then I'm a little scared. Like, can she do drama? Can she do something serious that doesn't have like a sarcastic undertone to it?
I don't even know. I think she's just a producer. It didn't ever say if she was going to be acting in it. I think she's just a producer.
Then it's going to be great. I can't wait.
Yeah, it says a drama development. You know what, Evie? You are just like so like flip flopping right now. You were just throwing shots at it and they didn't even read it. What's going on, Evie? You just shot it down. Bow, 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 bow. All right, we got
to shoot that little mother.
No. Oh, you hit us with that.
You got
That's still the funniest scene ever. That is the funniest scene. But yeah, we're going to keep moving on. It's so many great topics to talk about. Oh my God. Hopefully we can get just an extra 10, 15 minutes so we can talk about childhood memories. Because we got so much good savvy news, man. It's so much good stuff happening. Like, first off, let me just give my praises and just really just get on my knees and thank the higher power for this story of this hip-hop mammal, Birdman and Toni Braxton being married and not being true. That legitimately, like, hurt my soul when I read that. And then when I read who posted it first, I'm like, this can't be real because it's some sources you can trust. And that, I'm not going to blast it. Y'all can research who posted the story first, but I don't really trust that website with information, with breaking news. And so I wasn't believing it. I was just saying some jokes, like, I was just saying the jokes that, you know, Toni Braxton is wants to ruin Legacy because she wants to pay jewelry cleaner in her mouth. You know, I thought she was ruining Legacy for a moment to wanting to marry a hip-hop mammal, but I'm so glad that that's not true. Whew, she scared me. Because I'm like, you can't be actively wanting to see that face every day when you wake up. That can't be humanly possible. This man has tattooed doodlings on his face. You can't possibly want to see that every day. He has a permanent grill in his mouth. You can't want to look at that face every day. I'm just saying. But thank the Lord, that story is not true. Whew, she scared me. So, like, my heart had dropped. You can't be wanting to marry a hip-hop mammal. That can't be happening. He looks like a baby dinosaur in the face. You can't be. He has random stars tatted on his top of his head. He talks with a shaky voice.
Break my heart.
Woo! She unbroke my heart with that story.
Well, I honestly thought it was true until you just told me. So I just was like,
yeah, it's not true at all. It's not true. Voices came out and said it was true. But yeah, the reason why I bring Toni Braxton up is because her and SWV are receiving honorary awards at the Soul Train Awards, I believe. I was supposed to be going, but I don't feel like going to Vegas for that because I don't want to feel disappointed. Because if y'all try to mix in these new artists with the old school, I'm going to get mad. Like, I don't want to hear, you know, Gene Echo. You know, if y'all playing, like, artists like that, I don't want to go. So, yeah, I'm probably not going to go. They're getting ready to tape that pretty soon. I'm not going to it because, no, I don't want to waste my time.
I'm really happy because SWV deserves this award. Yes. They've never received.
And it's crazy because that's going to be their first award.
25 years. Right. 25 years, no awards.
Crazy.
Toni Braxton, I know that anytime they do anything with Toni Braxton, it's like the only people they can find to sing her songs or her sisters, and I'm tired of hearing them. I don't want to hear it no more.
Yo, that was actually good, though. I liked that one they did with the I think it was the McDonald's Award, beat something. I forgot what it was. The KFC Award or something they aired on BET. I saw it. Listen, Kelly Price, when she did Unbreak My Heart, when I tell you my soul was evaporated from my body when she sung Unbreak My Heart with them bronze, Kelly Price got to be on the list because she told that
she's
song.
Official. No, Kelly Price can sing anything. I really do believe that. I think she's crazy as cat shit, but she can sing anything.
Wow.
I'm serious.
But they're receiving awards, and I'm going to be paying attention to that. Hopefully she get Layla. She needs to get Layla Hathaway to do her songs because they in that same tone. So she needs to get Layla Hathaway.
No, she's not going to do anybody.
Or she's going to do her own tribute. She can do her own tribute, though. But if you're going to pick somebody, you better pick Layla Hathaway.
I think Cher.
Cher? What?
I think Cher, yeah. She sings like Cher now. I mean, why not?
You tried it. No, she do not. I've actually seen her perform live. No, that's not true. You're not going to do this to a legend. You're not going to try to make her sound like Cher. You're not fixing to mix in a Cher song with Unbreak My Heart.
I'm not
talking about I can turn back. This is straight blasphemy. You're not going to do this on the show.
You know what? That's exactly how I felt about Toni's last album. I'm not feeling that at all.
Oh my God.
The last album, but no, you can't do a Cher Toni. No. No, I'm not. No.
Pay homage. No. I love Toni.
Oh,
this is just a joke. So don't be sending no emails talking about I'm dirty to Toni. I love Toni. All right.
Send him the email, y'all. I encourage this because you're not going to do this to a legend.
I love Tony Braxton.
I told you Tony is my top five right singers of all time. Top five.
Oh, she's got, she's definitely got a voice. Like her voice
Tony
out of the 90s.
Is,
yeah.
Woo,
Tony came. She wasn't playing no game. She's ready.
Yeah, SWV 25th anniversary. It's about time. Also, Sade, Love Deluxe. I believe it was 35 years, right?
Yeah, I think
wasn't
so,
it?
Yeah. No.
And then it was also...
It was 25.
25. Yeah. It sure was. I'm
yeah,
tripping.
Yeah.
Get my dates mixed up. But yeah, Ordinary Love. Ooh. What y'all know about that? Y'all younger, you know, if you went with that, Sade is... I wouldn't say she's the blueprint for some of these, like SZA and, you know, I could say that. You know, Erykah Badu, that chill vibe, she was the original with that, so... She's kind of the blueprint. But I would say, okay, I'll go out of limb and say that. She's the blueprint for the scissors, you know, with everybody that's on this vibe, you know, thing that wants something
yeah, yeah,
chill
yeah.
and mellow. She's the original.
Right. People
Sade.
Want to be deep, but they don't have the range. Sade is the official. She is the real one.
Evie is just throwing all these shots out here. He got the gun out tonight. He's like, bow, bow. Every time he throws something out there, there's a shot going off.
Except for Erykah, because y'all know I love Erykah, so that's right. But everybody else, I don't know those people. I ain't used scissors since I was in the first grade.
Oh, my God, this is hilarious. Also, there's so many people that anniversary albums. Also, like I said before, our beloved music royalty, Prince, released 1999. 35 years
yep.
ago. That is the greatest album of all time, 35 years ago. It actually came out a month before Michael Jackson's Thriller, and so yeah, it's a classic album. If you, I just say this: if you put what? What'd you say?
Nothing.
No. Expound on what you
just
said.
I was just listening.
You're not gonna do this on this show.
Look, I don't want no
if
problems.
I, find
here.
Out,
I swear, I don't want no problems.
I
don't want
to
get
this
fired.
Show, no.
Look.
No. If I
don't
listen
get
to this
fired.
Show back. If I listen to the show back and I don't like what you said, because I'm gonna listen intently
See,
at this
that's
point.
What happened to Will. That's what happened to Will. I don't want to.
We're gonna get over this anyway. Stevie Wonder dropped a phenomenal album 35 years ago. Incredible album, Music Play 'em, great album. Also, oh yeah, yesterday was Bootsy Collins' birthday. Shout out to him. I did an appreciation post a couple years ago, and last year I reposted it and told him happy birthday, and I already told y'all about that phenomenal tweet he sent me. I'm so mad. I saw that a month later, because around this time, I'm usually, you know, traveling a lot, and usually October is my busiest month with doing gigs, because I'm gone every weekend out of town, and that time,
right.
I had an assistant, and usually I'll let them do their own thing going into November. And so I was the one handling all the messages because I didn't have to travel in November. And I saw this like a month later when I was checking the mentions, and he mentioned Soul Savvy, saying I made his funk to pee and that he's going to pee on the record for me. I was like, yo, that is an ultimate compliment right there. He said I made his funk to pee and that he's going to pee on the record. That is incredible.
I mean, that's a legend. That's a living legend. Who doesn't get
make
it all
the time? My funk to pee funk. I want
because I what? That's it.
I want to be funked up. I want to get funked up. What y'all know about that? That Parliament funkadelic. JB's what? Bass legend. That's a bass legend. And my favorite song, I'd rather be you. Yeah.
Didn't some lesser artist try to remake that?
Yeah,
or something?
I'd rather be with you.
I swear.
Hey, I want to be with you till I'm
through. I remember.
Hey, that's the joint. Yeah, shout out to the booth. I'm sorry I went on a tangent. I forgot to say this when we were doing the Savvy Updates. They actually liked that Prince karaoke that we did.
Yeah.
If I didn't feel like some Michael Jackson was going to be played, I would do some more Prince songs since y'all enjoyed it, because I believe it was Natalie said, I think that's who it was, said that, why was I jamming when y'all were doing the Prince karaoke? Because you're supposed to. You're supposed to do that. Because you're supposed to jam when you hear them classics. You're supposed to jam.
Prince.
when you hear Erotic Kitty. I used to play that in church all the time.
All
Erotic
of my
Kitty.
Purple life.
Hey,
I've been looking for a girl.
It's gonna be my wife. Hey, that was my intention, baby. It's so pretty, you and me. Body, city, come on. We can enjoy the song, making up the cherry song. Body, city, can't you see? It's so pretty, you and me. Every time I comb my hair, hey, thought that you get in my eyes. You're a sinner, I don't care. I just want you. I can't say that on the radio. That's too filthy for y'all listeners. But I loved it because it was fantastic. I was at a young age listening to that. I wasn't supposed to be. Oh, down. All right, I'm getting off on a tangent. I wasn't supposed to do that. I'm getting ADD. Okay, I guess I just want like a quick, like 15 minutes so we can talk about childhood memories. Oh, yes, Questlove Supreme. Oh, my God, yo.
Whew. Yeah,
we gotta do like a show on that.
Finish it,
James and Toomey. Oh my God! Yo, did you listen the first part? First of all, I didn't know that he did the Donny Hathaway and Roberta Flack back together, and
yep.
And I didn't know that Donny Hathaway, like whenever he committed suicide, like he did that a week later after recording that. And he was there, like, during that whole time when he had, like, the breakdown. So that was crazy. And then also, I didn't know. I knew that he had was back in with Miles Davis. But that whole, oh, my God.
Like,
I didn't know that he did the theme song to New York Undercover. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was the musical director. That. Andre Harrell went to him personally and was like, I have this idea and I want you to be involved. Like, his legacy. Like, he comes from musicians, famous musicians. That I did not know because his father
knew his last name.
But James Ntume is one of the only artists who can say, I worked with Duke Ellington, I worked with Stephanie Mills, and then I worked with Mary J. Blige. You just connected, like, three different, like, all these people in this range, Phyllis Hyman, like, Teddy Pendergrass, Curtis Mayfield. Like, you've worked with all of these legends. His episode,
yes.
I still haven't finished.
Oh, my God.
Tawasa Aggie is one of, if you follow me on Twitter, you know I talk about Tawasa all of the time. I think she is one of the most gifted. So from that episode, to hear him say that the songs he wrote for Stephanie Mills, Phyllis Hyman, or Roberta Flack, Tawasa was the person who did those demos for him to send to them. I want to hear it all. I want them to release it all. Tawasa, if you follow my background thread on Twitter, Tawasa is one of the greatest vocalists in the world to me. I love her voice. I love her style. Man, I can go on and on about Tawasa. We're going to do a whole show on Tawasa just because, as a matter of fact, we're going to get her to come on the show.
Right.
And I'm going to
I didn't know that she was in the band with Angela Whit. I know we losing a lot of y'all especially Haley Whitney. Y'all probably don't even know. Y'all know Juicy Fruit, don't you?
Yeah.
Of course.
We're talking about him. He produced that song. Well, that's his name in Toomey. But the lead singer, Juicy Fruit. That when he said that, I'm trying to remember what he said. Oh yeah, like I was saying, Angela Winbush. I didn't know that they were in a band together.
Amazing.
Yep, and just the history behind that, and Phyllis Hyman, and. The New York Undercover one, that was the one that blew me away. Cause I was like, what, that theme song? Listen, New York Undercover, like with Scandal, like all the primetime shows, that was primetime TV in the 90s on Fox. You had Martin came on first, Living Single, then New York Undercover was the late night one. I remember that lineup, like, and that theme song is like the most classic theme song. Like, I know it. That saxophone break. I can't even do it right. That soprano sax. Man, what? And then he was a part of getting those guest stars to do classic songs. Like, that was his idea. And that's like the best, the early episodes. Those are the best parts. Like, And that's your Montel Jordan singing, oh, my God, what you gonna do for love? Oh, my God. She did that Chaka Khan song way before it was on that album. That's
way
crazy.
Way before, right.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Did Switch. They did They'll Never Be. Yeah, Switch. Was the first time SWV did it. And then SWV recorded that in 2011.
And then Lele was the lead on there. Lele was lead
they
on
all, that's the
on
funny
that
thing. They all
like,
led. Yep. Yeah. They all did their own thing.
That
was
like,
oh, SWV is there.
That Questlove Supreme is one of the greatest like show like podcasts that I love because it's like it fits right into my music nerd. Like it's like being a kid at a candy store, like listening to all these legends. And then Michael McDonald, I haven't got to finish that one yet. The Chaka Khan one blew me away. Oh my God, that one was crazy. Michael McDonald episode, I haven't finished it yet because I was traveling yesterday and I didn't get a chance to finish it, but I'm definitely going to listen to it tomorrow. I got some downtime. But yeah, oh my God, that whole episode with James and Kume was just like knowledge and it's phenomenal. And my music nerd in me was just excited the whole show, just hearing a bunch of stuff that I didn't know before. And it was just crazy because I didn't know he did that Donny Hathaway. Because that's one of, if I say I have a favorite Roberta Flack song, because I told you I don't really like her songs like that, but if I had one, it was Back Together Again with that duet with Donny Hathaway. And he said it wasn't finished. Oh, okay, I'm just off on a tangent here. We got to move on because we run out of time. We got hopefully we get an extra 15 minutes so we can do quickly.
You're already out of time.
Will, can we get like an extra 15? Because you made me, I'm going to blame you again because we had to have therapy and we didn't get anywhere. So can we get an extra 15 minutes to just talk about our childhood memories and reminisce for like 15 minutes?
Well, only if I could do this for you.
Feel good. Oh my God. I knew that I wouldn't. Well, I was asking for that.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good.
I got to hear
you. I feel nice. The sugar is fine.
Hey, Q-Lin, say uncle.
I shut up quiet before it's time to fire.
So nice. This is so nice.
The I got to you.
Good evening. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show. We will return it to you as soon as you are grooving. Welcome to station WEFUNK, better known as WeFunk, or deeper still, the Mothership Connection.
I don't know
home
what
of the extraterrestrial brothers,
dealers
of funky music, P-Funk, Uncut Funk, The Bomb.
Coming to you
directly
from
the
mothership. Top of the chopping mill. 500,000 kilowatts of P.
You mentioned this song earlier.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did, Q-Lin. Put the brown liquor down.
My motto is.
Out and finish the show by myself, actually. I'm recording myself so we can do our childhood memories without you, actually, if you want to cut it short.